Is it possible in real life, in real time, for someone to really change? What is the best predictor of future behavior? Past behavior. Many think that personality and worldview is set by about 15 years of age. We've all experienced those various relationships when we can almost predict what the other person will say or what the other person will do. If you've been on social media, you know you put this out there and someone else is going to say that. For sure. And we are shaped by forces of nature, by forces of nurture, positive and negative experiences, and the culture around us. Is it possible for someone to really change? While we were sleeping on Palm Sunday last week, churches in Tanta and Alexandria were bombed by ISIS. Alexandria was the place where St. Mark preached. Alexandria was the place where St. Athanasius grew up and wrote. Is it possible for us to change? We see in John's account of the resurrection, those who are changed forever. Mary Magdalene, the one Jesus rescued from darkness, is changed by simply hearing the sound of her name. John, the beloved disciple, races to the tomb, and in a moment, he is changed. Peter, not quite changed just yet, but we know that he will be. Just one chapter later, Peter will have a discussion with Jesus. Jesus will powerfully restore him, and Peter will grow and he will change. Thomas and all the disciples will all be changed despite their doubts and their fears. In 1972, the South Vietnamese raided the village of Tran Gang with an agent called napalm. Napalm is a chemical weapon that causes fatal burns. We've learned about chemical weapons, have we not? But there was a Pulitzer Prize photo taken by a man named Nick Ute that shows a naked 9-year-old girl screaming, running away from smoke. That 9-year-old girl's name was Phan T. Kim Phuc, and she became known as the Napalm Girl. Well, she almost died. She should have died that day. But she was given treatment after treatment after treatment. To this day, she still receives treatment. She wrote this: "The anger inside me was like a hatred as high as a mountain. I hated my life. I hated all the people who were normal because I was not normal. I really wanted to die many times." Then about 10 years after that event, she went into the library searching for answers. And she picked up a book called the Bible. She began to read the Bible, and she gave her heart to Jesus. She says, "I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It was an amazing turning point in my life. God helped me to learn to forgive. The most difficult of all lessons. It didn't happen in a day, and it wasn't easy. But I finally got it. Forgiveness made me free from hatred. I still have many scars on my body and severe pain most days, but my heart is right. Napalm is very powerful, she says, but faith, forgiveness, and love are much more powerful. We would not have war at all if everyone could learn how to live with true love, hope, and forgiveness. And then she asked this question herself. If that little girl in the picture can do it, ask yourself, can you? What do the disciples, Mary Magdalene and Kim, have in common? The risen Lord Jesus. Can we change? Can you change? Can I change? The most common image that the gospel writers give us for the cross of Jesus and the resurrection is the Passover. Christians over the centuries have called this celebration our Pascha, our Passover. What do we say in Kirundi? Pascha nzidza. Got a response. What implication does this have? Passover, as we know with the story, it was a rescue mission from Egypt and slavery. It was when the children of Israel were brought from Egypt to the Promised Land. They ventured through the Red Sea on foot. They wandered in the wilderness, learning how to worship, learning how to follow God. They received the law from Mount Sinai. They learned how to depend on God for their daily sustenance, for bread from heaven, for water from a rock. The cross and the resurrection are similar. They are for us the Pascha. It is interesting that the primary gospel message, if you read the book of Acts and beyond, for the disciples, is the resurrection. The Apostle Paul, who had plenty to say about the cross, says that it is the resurrection that determines our ultimate destiny. In Romans, he says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the first step out of Egypt. Now, there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who are journeying out of Egypt, and those who are going back, or have never stepped away from it at all. To change is to see Egypt in the rearview mirror. Does it happen overnight? No. Like the children of Israel, we have to pass through the waters. There they are right there. The waters of baptism. We have to rely on God for daily bread. But we have the bread of heaven to sustain us. We have the community of faith to help us in our journey, to encourage us each and every way. It is through these things that we can truly change. I would dare say it is only through Jesus that we can change. Just over 10 years ago, a 33-year-old gunman named Charlie Roberts barricaded himself inside a one-room Amish schoolhouse near Lancaster, Pennsylvania. There he opened fire. Five children lost their lives, along with Roberts himself. Five other children were injured. I remember seeing that on the news. I was getting my hair cut. And I remember that I couldn't bear to hear or read anything about it, because I had two little girls at home, a little baby boy. Of course, that same week, the children of the Amish were buried. The Robertses had a private funeral of their own for Charlie. Forty Amish came out for that private burial. They formed a half circle around the events of the burial, mostly to keep the media away. Three of the fathers of the victims were there, and they said to the parents, Terry Roberts and her husband, "You lost a son that day too." It was not easy, but the Amish community forgave Charlie and all of them. But there's more to the story. Their relationship continues to this day. Terry is now struggling with cancer. Some of the Amish women show up to help her with her treatment and to offer her comfort. One of the little Amish girls named Rosanna, who was shot, is permanently brain injured, tube fed, and is in a wheelchair. She still has seizures. Terry Roberts has volunteered to care for her once a week. She bathes her, dries her hair, and reads to her. There is a real relationship between Terry Roberts and the Amish. One of the Amish fathers said, "None of us would ever have chosen this, but the relationship that we have built through it, you can't put a price on that." What do the Amish and Terry Roberts and Mary Magdalene and John the Apostle and Kim Fook have in common? Not some vague belief of a prophet long gone, of a prophet who had wonderful moral teachings. What they all have in common is the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought real change in the midst of a terrible ordeal. Most of the Christian life is mundane, one day after another, one prayer after another, one scripture reading after another. But it is through those small things that we change. Is it possible? If our proclamation is true, Christ is risen, then it is. There's nothing quick or easy. You can take the boy out of Egypt, but you can't take Egypt out of the boy. He'll continue to struggle. But I offer that verse to you again. If you confess with your lips Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, your journey begins right now. Alleluia! Christ is risen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.